All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and get started with our budget work session for this evening. Again, this is an opportunity for the mayor and council to discuss ideas and see what agreements we can come up with and what common ground we can find in putting together the beginning of a final budget for the fiscal year 20. So I know one of the things is that we've all had opportunities to hear from the public. I want to let you know that Council Member Goyas will not be able to attend tonight. His brother passed yesterday, and that makes him literally and figuratively the head of his entire family. So he's dealing with that, and he certainly wanted to be here, but, you know, family should come first. So some of the things we will be discussing is obviously various scenarios in terms of revenue and then expenses, their impacts on projects, and see if we can't come to at least a pretty good understanding of what level we feel the new budget should be, taking into consideration the many, many factors that come to play. The one thing I think when we also at least want to have a brief discussion on an initial one is to come to initially to discuss what policy we should establish. It doesn't have to be tonight, but let's say by the end of this fiscal year, what policy we want to establish for what should be the level of the general fund reserves. They've been very, very high, they've been medium, now they're low. They've been, you know, over the years at all different levels. So that's something else I hope that everyone has a chance to discuss. I guess the first thing is where it stands on the water utilities fees. I'm going to throw out the idea and then let's get some discussion going into increasing all the fees that are necessary to stop the borrowing from the water utilities from the general fund, to do all those fees this year, get them in place, but postpone the stormwater fees, because the stormwater fees for this year should balance out fine. But that's because we've already got the grant for the work that has to be done for the submerged wetlands and on Graham Avenue. So, Grice, Nelson.
From
Graham Avenue. So in any case, I suggest that we postpone them, but to make the borrowing stop for that purpose, to underwrite both debt, retirement, and operations for the sewer fund, I recommend that we increase the utilities cost for sewer and water this year to the full extent that has been proposed by Davis Bowen Verdell, and I think that will at least take some pressure off the general fund for that purpose. It should hopefully just stop it indefinitely.
Do you want me to put up the slide that shows what that looks
like? Sure.
That's the last slide. Thank you, Kelsey. So what the mayor's referring to is a 5% increase in the water rate. And for those of you who have hard copies, it's the very last page in your packet. Looks something like this. What we're proposing at this point is a single-year rate restructuring. It's a 5% increase in water rates, 20% increase in the sewer rates. Some of the feedback we've received from the mayor and council over the last several months is that the adjustment should affect all ratepayers. And so this no longer has this sort of hold or pause for folks that are at the lower end of the spectrum. So all ratepayers will experience an increase, some to varying degrees, because the way that we've re-tiered this is the higher-end user will be paying more earlier in the schedule than they are currently under the current schedule. So if you look at this proposal, the estimated annual increase in the water account compared to current revenues is $50,195, and the estimated annual increase in the sewer account compared to current revenues is about $277,000 and change. In that estimate is a 10% reduction assumption. So keep in mind these are projections and estimates. It's kind of what you do as you're building these budgets. Also, we're factoring in an estimate that folks will adjust their water usage when the rates get adjusted. And so we're accounting for that. And so we consider this to be a relatively conservative number.
I have a question.
Sure.
Does the 20% increase, can everyone hear me okay? Does the 20% increase in sewer encompass the additional fee that was discussed, or will there be an additional fee for capital projects?
Right. So it does include a tiny amount of money for capital projects in the fiscal 20 budget. But as staff has looked at this more closely, the amount of EDUs that we bring in on average is about 47, 48 a year. The debt service that we have in the sewer utility is the equivalent of about 52 EDUs. So you understand how an average works. Sometimes the number's higher, sometimes mm-hmm. the number's lower. And so, for example, one year we received 3 EDUs. The debt service payment is an annual consistent amount of about $634,000. And so what we're suggesting is that we migrate away from the town's practice of relying on EDU payments to cover the debt service, in part because that's not working, at least not working consistently, and that you look at restructuring the rates. And one suggestion I had was attach a fee. It can be a debt service and capital fee. It would fluctuate based on the number of EDUs that are paid, so that in the years where there's development and there's enough EDUs to cover the debt service or close to it, the fee would be adjusted. We do not have the internal expertise in the town of Berlin to basically do that kind of an analysis and determine what the structure of that fee should look like. So if that's something you want us to pursue, we would need to get some outside expertise to help us establish that. Did I answer your question, Zach?
Yes, but when DBF was here, didn't they say a 10% increase would cover the costs and have some ability to cover a little bit? I mean, it was very, very minimal capital.
Yes.
And that was a 10% increase.
So we had a little bit of an issue with some of the calculations that DBF did towards the end. And as they re-evaluated, it became clear that the phased-in approach wasn't going to be working and that the payback for the general fund was actually going to be something like 21 years. That's why when Mr. Duma was here and he was saying, well, here's what we could do, that was new information to me. So I asked him to go back and take another look at his numbers, and we now believe that this is the preferred approach for that reason.
And what's the – oh, I apologize. Go ahead.
So would I be correct in saying that this proposal would put water and sewer at a break even?
For 1 year, and during which point we would want to have an expert come in and help us take a look at the fund and how to restructure the sewer fund to make sure that we were set appropriately to pay the debt service and provide sufficient funding for capital costs. Some cities and counties have adopted this fee that I mentioned in this memo that I prepared. Others apparently factor it into their rates. So we did their water rates, their actual consumption rates. So we did ask DBF to look at that, and we provided that at a previous meeting, and they said that the rates for water and for sewer would need to go up by like 30 to 60%. We're not recommending that this year. I think this proposal in front of you for water and sewer will get you the time you need to have some outside expertise come in and take a look at restructuring the fund to be able to account for EDUs and the payment of the debt and ensure that you've got a good, strong funding source for capital for both of those utilities going forward.
If I understand you correctly, you're saying that under that proposal that this will be studied in the new year by an outside expert.
To be determined.
To be determined, yes. And that the strategy would be those years where there's enough EDUs to retire the debt, that would be done. But when those years it wouldn't, the next year we would adjust to cover that difference.
Yeah.
And it would basically be moving a moving target depending on the level of development.
That's the concept.
So if we had no development at all, the fee would this fee for capital costs and debt service would be high.
Mm-hmm.
If it was medium amount of development, it would be medium. And mm-hmm. If it was a lot of development, then there might not be any charge that following year.
That's the concept.
Okay,
yeah.
I just want to make sure.
In nutshell.
Yeah, go ahead.
With the 20% increase, at what's the payoff time for the $3.9 million in debt that's owed? Well, that's stormwater and wastewater.
Yeah, so
about $3.5 million?
Yeah, it's about 3.4 million, the sewer fund. This doesn't
right.
get you any progress towards that. It simply gets you structured for the year.
But getting us level is actually a positive thing.
I think so.
Because we won't have to use reserves to shore up these two funds. Tell me, where are the reserves now?
What level?
And how much money and how much time?
You want to skip to the slide where we have projections of the numbers?
Yeah, so. I think so. Which one do you want her to go to?
Any of them. The first two portions are basically the same.
Okay.
So the fiscal 19 opt out where you showed that's what we have budgeted right now. And the number on the right side, that's projected reserves to be at the end of fiscal 19, which is this year, 2.2. This is general fund only.
And that's how much operating time?
I'm sorry?
1 year. 1 year. I mean, from here to here. That's the beginning of the year, that's the end of the year.
And that's the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So we're going to end the year with $2.2 million. And how long is that operational for the town of Berlin?
That's about 4 months.
See, this reserve number is relative, and it all depends on your perspective. Some folks would say 4 months is a good number. Some folks would say 4 months could be improved, but personally, I feel 4 months is a good number. I don't know how we got into this perception that the town of Berlin is doing bad all of a sudden, that the town of Berlin is gonna go broke, that the town of Berlin is in this dire need of funds, because that's not how I perceive it. I perceive reserves of $2.2 million as a good number, as a number that we can work with and grow from. But to say that we are in these dire straits, that's not the case at all. It's not the case at all. Yes, we have two funds that have been draining these reserves. These water and wastewater. We got to do something with those funds. We got to do something with those funds. I think going forward and not doing something with those funds is negligent. We have allowed those funds to pull this number down, and it needs to stop. And the way it stops is increasing those fees, because those fees have been substandard for a few years now.
And
we got to do that. But $2.2 million in reserves, I'm under the impression that's not that bad.
Now, with that being said, I want Natalie and John.
By the way, and just so people, John Stone is our PK. He's the managing partner and PKS Financial, which does our audits for the last few years and gives financial advice to our financial department and to us.
As a follow-up to Dean's question, if we needed this $2.2 million, is it available and liquid, or is it something that's owed from other funds and shown in that account?
So here's the concept of reserve versus spendable cash.
Right.
Okay.
That's two different things. And I think where your question is standing, can we spend 2.2? No, it's not cash.
If we had an emergency and we had the $2.2 million in expenses, do we have the ability to get to that cash?
Not in general fund, no.
What is the available monies for us in the event of an emergency to be able to dip in and get?
Right now we have about $1 million as of June 30th.
In the general fund.
In the general fund.
Which is much less than 4 months.
Correct.
It's 2 months.
2 months. And there again, that's another thing. We want to come up with a policy right away, that's fine. But I think that's another thing that as a result of this budget process, we need to, again, as I said, establish what we feel is appropriate level of general fund reserves for this town. I know that we saw the letter to the editor, we received a letter from Joe Moore and some other folks saying that the governmental finance officers association says the minimum, and they say the absolute minimum should be 2 months. But that circumstances vary from town to town, city to city, based on other risk, depending on what you're doing at the time. You know, when you're doing more, you have more at risk. If you're doing very little, there's no risk at all. So I think that's another thing that after this process, once we get to this, then we can establish a policy, something to be a guideline, which may need to be revised if suddenly there's a major expense that we weren't planning. I mean, we can't plan breakdowns and system failures and things, but they don't happen. They rarely. And again, what we're anticipating is that if we can get through the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, and basically the borrowing will have been righted, and then we can look to see what's possible beyond. So, in any case, that's something I don't think we'll figure out tonight. But it doesn't. It doesn't. Again, it's a lower threshold than I think we thought it was. Right.
Did you want me to talk, Mayor? Did you want me to talk about the schedule for that rate increase for water and sewer?
Well, basically, we're saying that we want to put the increases in as of July 1 mm-hmm. to stop the bar. Mm-hmm. I mean. Generally speaking, if you differ, this is the time to speak up, because we've got to start making some decisions. None of them will be easy, but it's time. It's time.
I'm still having a tough time figuring this out, because this raises an additional $277,000 for the wastewater fund being proposed. But we lost $1 million last year. That's a big gap, and I'm still kind of not understanding. 277 versus $1 million. If we haven't changed anything over what we did last year, we're going to lose $1 million in wastewater fund. I don't know how that can be substantiated with just $277,000. If I'm looking at it wrong, somebody please.
I'm not saying it either.
Because I'm not getting it.
Okay.
Um, we have this rate structure we've had since day one has been flawed from URS, and I'm going back 12 years. Every time we get more development, it subsidizes and helps us out. Problem is, as soon as it doesn't happen, we're upside down.
Yeah.
And the users really need to pay for the operational capacity of the wastewater facility, the existing users, mm-hmm. not the guys coming down the road, maybe, because they may not come.
And that's what happens some years.
And that's what happened. And I saw it, and that's why I saw it go in the last 3 years from, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 in the hole to $1,000,001 last year. I don't, somebody's got to show me where that gap between 277 and $1,000,001
Somebody in finance.
Are you able to answer that?
Yeah.
No.
Well, last year's sewer fund borrowed $612,000. It's not a million, but it's not, I'm not arguing the number right now. The concept of going with a single year restructuring is to look into starting with the new year with additional fee that would cover the capital. And
so that's your stopgap that, in between the two.
This is just stopping the bleeding, if you want to name it this way.
Well, then I guess
it's not intended to be a long term permanent solution. The idea is to get us some
time
to exactly.
On top of it.
Yeah, that's why we're saying you need to pull somebody in who can help us restructure.
There's no doubt. We need an expert on this.
Yeah.
I thought we had one. I thought URS did a good job, but they did not. I thought we had been kind of keeping up with it. Mm-hmm. It became very obvious that mm-hmm. new development has been subsidizing the wastewater department. It's what it looks like to me. Am I wrong?
It's true. You've set an ordinance to allocate EDUs to pay the debt and the capital improvements, but from the past years, the EDU collections. And you also have to think that we used to finance all the EDUs. We don't receive the cash up front.
I understand that.
So
how many of those we finance?
That is...
I mean, maybe 20.
Do you know how many off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's not
what?
That
I'm
much.
Sorry.
How many EDUs
we financed off the top of your head?
I don't have that number right now.
Yeah,
I pulled it out.
I think compared to the people that paid the full freight, I think it's pretty small. Just from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, it's a small percentage compared to the entire thing. But I think the whole concept is... premise is flawed that we revised to do many years ago, which was depend on new development to underwrite the upgrades, which were absolutely necessary, critical for the wastewater plant, which had been, we put under all kinds of court orders, environmental orders, and everything else to get that plant upgraded, and it needed to be done probably at least 10 or 15 years before we did it. So now we have to restructure it so that not only new development, which goes up and down with cycles, but the actual users who use the treatment plant are helping to pay down that cost of the debt. And if we had no growth, this crisis would have happened probably 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
And it's
should we be financing EDUs?
Well, we've changed the policy.
We did change the policy, and one of the changes that you made was you limited the number of EDUs that an individual or business could finance, and your policy basically focuses on providing support, at least this is my interpretation, providing support to small local businesses, right? So for either new businesses or expanding businesses, that was your policy decision.
It also entices them to come here.
Yeah, I think the idea is to sort of help the local businesses,
right.
And small businesses.
Small businesses.
You know.
But large businesses can't even apply.
Right.
Large firms.
Right.
And
I think. And the other, if I could just add to that, you did add a financing charge. There's a cost of money component to it. So I think that was a good move as well.
But that's only at 3%. And I'm wondering if maybe if we're looking at it, if we're not allocating that full cost of financing across to those users, because the people that pay up front, we get our cash today, there's the cost of that money moving forward that we're not getting in a lump sum, and I don't know if we're assessing that fee correctly.
I think the idea of the flat fee was to make it simple for administrative purposes. However, I will say that can be folded into this analysis when we get the expert to come in and take a look at restructuring the fund. That's something else that person could be asked to do, is take a look at the financing policy and see what else we should be doing to make sure that we're, you know, covering our costs and making sure we're doing the right thing there.
Well, I think when we get into financing, we're getting into banking, and that's pretty complex. And I mean, I don't think that's a place. But I also have some confusion about the sewer fund, because I understand that the EDUs and those special connection fees are designed to offset the debt service. But I would think that those things would run proportional to the usage. Am I incorrect in that assumption? So, like, if you've used 50% of something and you've allocated that cost to the users of that system, mm-hmm. it should be at 50% payoff on the debt when you're at 50% capacity, or do I have this incorrect?
I don't know if I have a good answer for you tonight.
I think there's a lot of stuff that's been out there for a really long time. It's still out there, and I think
there are obligations that were before. Because, I mean, it's not aligning for me, at least the way that I understand it, that the usage is not aligning with the amount of debt that's still on the books. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm maybe confused on how it operates, or there's something missing for me.
Well, I'm not sure. Because the idea was that we had to expand the capacity. And
right.
We had to upgrade just to keep the sewer we had for the existing businesses and residents. But we had to expand to even allow homes to be built or anything.
And that's when the special connection charge was designed to cover that debt service, I believe, if I read it correctly. And then I thought that as that came in, that was going, like, the 52 EDUs that we need to be able to cover the debt service, those were getting paid off, so it would be proportional to the capacity that's already being used. But I think I have it incorrect, because it's not aligning for me.
I understand the concept, but that's not the way it was set up.
Okay.
And we set it up based on the firm.
Yeah, it was the recommendation.
Track record, and basically it was not good advice. So we're now kind of right the ship and restructure it in a way that will be sustainable. I guess that's the best word.
I think that's a great idea. And the sooner we can get some money
yep.
to take a look at
yep.
it,
so the better we'll be.
Well, yeah, so basically at maybe the next, do some research in it, but then
yep.
as soon as possible, let's at least, it doesn't have to be tomorrow, but let's see if we can't put out some requests for,
qualifications.
Qualifications first,
yeah.
and then proposals.
Yeah.
So that we won't be waiting any longer than we have to have that.
Right. The thinking was that we would get that work done between July 1 and December 31st, well in advance of the budget preparation process for fiscal 21.
Okay, because that's something we wouldn't be enacting until the following.
Right.
FY 21.
Right, but we want plenty of time for the mayor and council and the public to take a look at the proposal and understand the process and all of that. So.
All right. Let's see. So, with that in store, the thing we're saying then, just trying to make sure we have some general agreement as best we can, is that those fees will be imposed. We look into having the study done. For the special fee, I don't know, we haven't even got a name for it, because we just talked about it. But then, thirdly, that the stormwater utility fees for residents and commercial would be then postponed for 1 year. So they would remain where they have been since they were started. And that's because we have the money for the current year grant, and it's just trying to find some way to lessen the impact of these increases. All right, so I think now we need to talk about the property tax, because basically here, just to have something to go, we've got three options. Doesn't mean they're the only options. It can be something in between or whatever, but just to, again, make sure that everybody has an understanding of what different rates mean to our finances. I think the first option is one that has basically been discussed for the last about a month, maybe 5 weeks.
Feel like four years.
Is the option that one was the 30% tax increase. And that's taking the rate from 68 cents to 88 cents. Per $100 of valuation. Second option. Go ahead.
Can you please go back?
Can you speak into the phone? I can't hear you.
You've stated 400.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Can you not hear me?
No.
Is that better?
Now. Yes, now.
So the first option, I'm just going to go walk through the spreadsheet because it pretty much repeated itself. The only portion changes is on the bottom with projections of different rates and whether it's a single year or phased in year one and year two. So the first portion of fiscal 19 budget, it's what we have right now on the books budgeted for fiscal 19. The middle portion of the spreadsheet is fiscal 2020 projected numbers for general fund only. So with nothing in change with 68 cents as we have right now for the real estate tax on 100, with assumption that sewer fund will close itself with a negative of 145, we would need to prompt it up. That is assumption that we don't have the new rates built in. So if we build in the new rates for sewer, as we just discussed, the potential 145,000 transfer will go away.
Okay.
So it will not be needed because these new sewer rates should cover that operational loss for fiscal 2020. So the bottom number or shortfall projected for fiscal 20 is 497. That's not the rate. It's the shortfall. It's a negative number that we need to close with potential additional revenues. So the projection or option number one is 30% increase or 88 cents will give us additional 856,750. That's the number on the bottom.
But based on the idea we were just discussing, that instead of being $497,000, it would be closer to $352,000 if we're talking about.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Just want to make sure that everybody understands where we are. Okay. So that bottom line, then the change in reserves would be.
With 80 cents, you will have a positive outcome of 359.
Plus another additional 145.
Plus additional 145, assuming that stormwater rates get approved and effective July 1st.
I'm just trying
sewer.
To...
Sewer, I'm sorry.
Yep, sewer.
So that's a net plus of basically $500,000.
Correct.
Okay, just... Since we're, you know, working this through, okay.
So option two, it was discussed on the table as the phased-in approach for 20% increase in fiscal 2020 upcoming year and 7% increase in the year 2021. 20% increase will give us additional approximately 102,000 plus 145 if we close the gap for sewer. I'm just repeating myself in the year one. And going to year two, we would get an additional 257,000 with the tax rate of 88 cents. And stop me if you have any questions.
So
all this is plus 145, right?
Yeah.
Plus,
yes,
okay.
All of it would assume additional.
Okay, so again, we have that goes takes that down from 497 again, that down
back to about 350. About
350.
Yep.
Okay. And so then the.
Now all these projections, Mayor, ran as of fiscal 2020 projected, meaning. I'm assuming that 2021 year, the budget is very close and pretty much the same.
Yeah, not much change.
Not much change. And as of right now, we have very few of capital projects, and we run in 12% budget cut as of right now. So I'm assuming the same scenario will play itself in fiscal 2021.
Okay, so the change in reserves then, goes from being an option two.
Yeah,
the option that goes from instead of having a change in reserves of, we add, what, 350 to the 102?
You would add 145 and 102, so 247.
247, thank you. Okay. All right. And then the...
Option three?
Option three, please.
Option three was discussed with 15% tax increase, again, phasing first year, and second year is 7%. So if we go up 15% and make the tax rate at 78 cents, we're looking at the shortfall approximately 70,000. With the sewer fund being closed, we're pretty much going to be close, breaking even. And then the second year, we will receive additional $214,000.
214?
Yes, that's if we go into 15 and 7, year one.
So the change, so the total change in reserves is about $214,000 or $215,000. That, with that option over the 2 years. We break even the first year, the second year, we add about $214,000.
Well, the second year you will receive 145.
Right. Okay, but the first year there is not.
Let's get it upside down 70.
70. It's a negative number. 69,111 is a negative number, shortfall.
And
but if you add the 145 back to it, it's going to be a
break even.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to. I'll put it this way. I don't think anybody here is advocating that we not fix the sewer fund.
Right.
So that's why I want to use numbers, not just as these were very well done. Okay. I want to use numbers based on with that policy, if that policy is in big place as we anticipate, what would be the bottom line first in terms of the change in revenues for year one, year 2020, what would that be? And then what would be the change in reserves for year two?
Minus 70, my brain.
You basically break even in the first year.
First year break even.
Right. And then you get 214 in the second.
Okay. Okay. 214. Okay. So if I'm reviewing, just correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just looking at the notes here. Is under option one, after the first 2 years of increasing by 30%, the net increase in reserves is about $500,000, just a little over $500,000. If we go to option two, which is 20% property tax increase the first year, 7% the second year, the total bottom line for reserves increases by $247,000. And under option three, the total between the 2 years is $214,000. So between option one and option two, it's about 50% less. And then, I don't know what the percentage off the top of the head is, but you know, it's maybe another 15-20% less under the third option.
That sounds right, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Does anyone, with all these, I know a lot of figures being thrown at everyone here, but does anyone have any questions about what the impact of these three different phased-in, one's not a phased-in tax increase in option one, and then the other two are two different scenarios for phased-in tax increases in option two and option three? Does anybody have any questions, comments, observations?
Yes. Where are the revenues coming from? If I'm looking at the budget and I see I see the parent budget, and I go down to general fund revenues, and I see $7.1 million. That's for FY19, correct?
I'm sorry, which number are you referring to me, on the budget itself or
on the
spreadsheet?
On the budget.
On the big report?
Yes. I'm trying to figure out where this $5.4 million aligns with the budget.
I'm not sure. The first line item, revenues for fiscal 19?
Yes.
That is fiscal 19 budget number without the slots revenues and without the surplus.
So that is for the real property?
No, that's all revenues, minus the loan proceed, minus the borrowing from the reserve of 1.5.
That's the prior year surplus?
Right, right? Minus the slots revenues. So
minus prior year surplus. Surplus and minus slots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, would get me to the 5.4. And then, if I'm looking at the budget that was presented, the first night, first work session for the general fund, we had that was keeping the property tax rate at 68 cents per $100 of assessed value, and it was short. Roughly, what, $132,000?
$131,000.
And that was pulling nothing from, well, that would have had to have made up that $132,000 from somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it was from the reserves or wherever we could have.
What $132,000 are we talking about here?
There was $132,000 shortfall.
Shortfall. The budget first presented for general fund.
Correct.
The very first work session we had for general fund, the spreadsheet for the budget, as we discussed about the slots revenues being allocated and being restricted for police department, that was the number added. That was one of the changes as well. So the shortfall of 140 plus the 350, that's basically the 497 number that you're seeing today.
So if we were to make up that $400,000, whether we chose to use the slots revenue that was coming in, whether we said, okay, the reserves are at an adequate level, based off of our accountant's recommendations and our determination that that's adequate, we could then use that $300,000+ that's coming back as debt repayment for the police station as money that could be used to cover this gap, correct?
This money I restricted for safety and community only. You cannot take those monies and put
it to
their operational
expenses. In other
words, that's
what we're doing. I mean, we have, as long as we spend it on police, fire, or ambulance. That's it. As long as we pay on those three, and that's what we're currently doing.
But
yes.
Aren't we paying back the general fund reserves with the slots revenue? So the money's already been spent out of the general fund reserves for the police station, which was a public safety necessity.
Correct.
So now if we're going to use that money coming in that's paying back that debt, we can use that however we would like. Correct?
Now you have to repay your obligation that you committed to in the past.
Okay, so if we're taking it as money coming in, as debt repayment, can we use that? We can determine whether we want to put that in reserves or whether we want to put that to work.
The only option you have is to put it back to, you want to call it reserves or repaying the commitment for the police department.
That's the only option.
I think if I understand correctly, he's asking.
So if you take in, if you take in this and change in the policy, change in the allocation of the slots revenues, basically you're not paying your obligation back. So you've depleted the reserves and you made a hole out there for the construction of the police department.
I think I'm just saying, if that was to, the council was to decide to do that, then whatever we did spend on, if that was not, we were not repaying ourselves, or at least not at the rate that we have been, that money would have to be spent on police, fire, or EMS.
Yes, correct. If you decide not to, then going forward, those monies should be allocated to a certain certain project, yes.
But on here, it's showing dipping into reserves for some money, correct?
Yes.
So we're repaying the reserves with the slot revenue.
Correct.
Right? So it's going in, and we're just taking it right back out to use it again.
Correct.
So in essence, we're doing the same thing.
Exactly, but you commit in the revenues to a certain project. They're earmarked.
But once we hit an adequate level that we deem necessary, at that point we should begin using the people's money to help offset whatever expenses we have. Am I wrong in that?
What is adequate level are we talking
about? That's one of the things that we're supposed to determine is what we think is an adequate level, whether it's 2 months or 4 months.
Yeah.
Or
of reserves,
a year.
Speaking of reserves.
For reserves.
Yeah.
Well, the policy of reserves will be established. We will be working. And we discussed that 2 months is enough, as practice advises. Is it 3 months is enough? in the past, we've gone from 5 to 6 months. So we have to establish this policy, I agree. But we're not, we're discussing right now not how much we should have in reserve. We're discussing right now going forward, we should not borrow more from the reserves.
Okay. So if we were to make up the difference that we're short is what, 497,000?
As of right now, let's take 145 out because
352 based on the earlier decision. That's what I say. The 495 would now become 352.
Right.
So that's that would be the deficit for FY 20.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, these are all judgment calls. And
oh, I agree.
And one of the things there is, I think once we, and just my thinking on it, once we got everything level, there's no more leaking, there's no more borrowing, you know, in terms of, you know, that, or we made it sound, very sound. Then we have, I think, can explore options about what we do with the income we have. I think right now we just want to make sure that we don't make the situation worse before we start break even and make it better.
I'm just concerned that we're moving too many things at one time. Mm-hmm. And that if we have the capability of using the revenue that's coming in from the slots that are repaying the debt service that's owed for the police station, and we use that money to cover this burden of $352,000, then if we can make up that minimal difference and focus on the water and sewer right now and leave the general fund alone without a tax increase and balance out the water fund, which seems to be our struggle,
Sewer.
If we can balance out that sewer fund, and then we'll come back over and focus our attention on the general fund. But right now, I think we can make this up. Right
now, is that? I guess here's the other thing. Is again? I think obviously we want to discuss every possibility. Is if that scenario was followed, would we have the ability to? Would be basically taking money from the slots, and instead of replenishing the general fund for the monies that we paid for that building, we'd be taking it to pay for other costs.
And maybe we acknowledge, hey, look, maybe we shouldn't have lowered the tax rate, and we restore it to what it was before at the 73 cents, and then we work on bringing our expenses in line and then focus our attention on the sewer fund.
Lowering the tax rate, I think, was prudent at the time because we had a lot of cash in the bank,
okay. And
it was a good idea at the time because we were making a surplus. Then all of a sudden, the wastewater fund started sucking it dry, and that's where things went wrong and went wrong quick, and that's what's got to get fixed quick, in my mind.
I agree with the sewer fund is in desperate need of fixing.
And the budget we've struck so far really doesn't have any capital expenditures other than roads. I mean, it's got nothing, and you know you're going to have some. You got to fix stuff when it breaks. That's just my two cents. As tight as it is for you. The last first month raising taxes me. And it certainly doesn't help anybody. But we got to right the ship. And we got to make sure it's on a steady course so it doesn't go deeper. Sorry.
Yes. I agree wholeheartedly with what Troy has said. And you know, I agree with Zach. We have to right this ship, but the public has told us a 30% increase is not what they're looking for. And we asked for this input, and folks came and gave the input, and we really should consider that and use it. Because after all, we work for the people. And the folks are telling us a 30% increase is not the way to go. Now, Zach said something about restoring the tax to the rate prior to the increase. I think, what was that, 5 or 6 cents?
Yeah, it's actually option 4's proposal.
Kelsey, can you address?
Option four.
I think. Am I?
Yeah, 73 cents.
Yeah, 70.
Am I missing?
That's 73 cents that used
5 cents.
To be.
5 cents. 5 cents would generate 214. Oh, it's changed. $214,000. And with getting the water and wastewater rates right, at least at a break even, I think a 30% increase is not necessary. We need to look to a lower increase because that's what the people want.
If we can come up with something like that, I'll be cheering. But it just, like say,
and I do believe. I do believe, and I don't want to have to pay an additional penny, just like lots of folks. But if we're going to try to right the ship, like Troy has said, the minimum I can see is that, and I'm not doing percentages now, I'm doing is a 5 cent. Increase and that I see on here that would be 7%.
That's option four, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that puts us at having to make up what amount? Assuming the water and sewer is taken, or that sewer is taken care of itself.
Take care of.
Right.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me just do the math.
Sure. Just double check.
I'd like to hang in there.
You will have a shortfall approximately $140,000.
Yeah, about $140,000.
And this is using FY19's expenses?
Now that's using F2020 projected.
That's using 2020 projected with the healthcare savings in?
Yes.
And we need to make up. We need to make up how much?
$140,000 approximately. If you go into 7% or 73 cents.
All right.
So, and keep in mind, there's virtually no capital.
It basically means a suspension of capital expenditures for a year, basically. And in this bottom line figure then goes from 283, and that is actually reduced by 145, so almost half. Basically, that becomes basically $145.
Tell me this.
$45,000.
Of the departments, what was that? I know the mayor said 10%, but what was the average reduction in the departmental budgets overall across the board?
For the whole entire budget, including the utilities, it's 16% reduction.
Again,
total.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
For the total budget, general fund, and utility funds, right now, as projected for 2020, we have 16%
reduction.
And in the general fund, it's been reduced by basically 11, 12%, somewhere in there. Do you see that?
Yeah. If we would remove the storm water, which is 71, and average the other ones, what would we get?
In other words, to do that, to institute the stormwater increase, is that what you're saying?
No, we just don't.
He's just trying to understand what the average would be without the stormwater in it.
See, the average here is 70%, I think.
Okay.
That would be approximately 10% cut.
10% cut.
Yes.
And the public has told us that a 30% increase will not wash, and we need to make this thing work. I would suggest to help with the shortfall, sometimes we just have to work with what we got. I would suggest decreasing the fire department funding that much, the same percentage. And what would that number be?
We're talking about decreasing by 10%?
An additional
10%? An additional 10%?
Yes.
Because it's already been reduced.
Just to make sure I'm understanding.
I mean, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Is that your proposal?
We've already got a reduction of 10% in this budget.
As compared from
this
year.
To this year.
Oh, well, we can't cut them no more.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't exempt anybody.
You already took $60,000 out of their budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I was asking if it was an additional
10%.
Cut
them no more.
And we have a challenge that we can't resolve in this budget cycle because although we've increased the grant to $605,000 at the general budget meeting that we had here, the general fund work session, they said that they need $910,000, yeah.
And 21 cents on your tax rate.
And so I think that that's, again, we're going to have to continue ongoing talks and explain. We just can't put all the money up front. Just like we're correcting the sewer fund, the days of when we can put money up front and then it sits for a few years until something needs to be bought. That worked when budgets were a fraction of what they are now, but they can't work now. I mean, I think we have to treat everybody the same. Our own departments, our own employees, and any other entities that we are funding. And that way, you know, nobody's being beat up on and nobody's being exceptioned. But I think it can be done. I mean, I think we can come up with ways to provide for the capital funding for our departments that are city departments as well as the fire company, but not the way we've been doing it. And it's going to take, you know, a partnership effort. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this year it looks like obviously there won't be any additional money, no additional money for capital improvements. And maybe when it will help while we're all working this out, they get their project done out in east of Berlin, and then we all sit down and see what we can work out, not for this year, but
yeah,
in the future.
Yeah.
What's our deficit again if we went with option four? And we
$140,000, and I think a penny on the tax rate is equivalent to about 43.
Yeah, so got that 80, somewhere.
82 would break it even.
That's what I was trying to work out. Was if you bump it up a little bit.
I kind of like option four.
And we're looking for $140,000.
We're looking for $140,000.
So that would mean just make sure we're all on the same page here. If we establish that rate, that means we need to reduce expenses by an additional $140,000. Is that correct?
Right. Or if you want to stick at that tax rate.
I mean, I'm going to make sure everybody understands.
Yeah, it would be challenging down, for me to recommend that you tap into your reserves any longer. I don't think that's a good fiscally responsible move. So I think you're really looking at either setting a tax rate that would get you to, you know, zero impact on your reserves or some additional reductions in your budget, or maybe a combination of both.
So you're thinking around 78 under this scenario would make it break even.
And
that's what I was trying to figure out.
78 would give us $428,000 worth of additional.
Can you talk into the mic, please? Can you hear
George? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're looking at this. If it goes to 78, I'm asking if you guys, if that would make it break even if we balance the wastewater fund through a rate
structure. 78 cents, 15%, you will have a break even. That's if nothing happens.
Yeah, if we don't have a bad luck.
No changes to projection.
Okay. Yeah, as you pointed
understood.
Out.
I understood.
Yeah. Let me just review. Make sure I understand and that we're all literally at the same place after this discussion. So option one, nobody wants to do. It was the place to start, and I think it got everybody to pay attention. So I don't think anybody wants option one. That's fine. Then we talked about option two, which was an increase over 2 years, 20% the first year, 7% the second, which left a positive balance of $247,000 or about a quarter million. Then the second option was 15%, the second year 7%, that left a positive balance, break even the first year, 214,000 the second year. The option four was 7% for 1 year, at 1 year only, at 73 cents, and that's $140,000 plus. And then option
option four had a $140,000 deficit.
Yeah, let me make sure I get the minus in there.
We don't have an option five up here yet.
Yeah. And then option five would be, just being discussed here, would be a 10% increase to 78 cents, going from 68 to 78, and that would mean that everything would break even, that both the sewer budgets and the water resources and all that stuff, including our general fund, everything's at break even. So, I mean, those are the options, and I don't think the first two are real.
Tell me the difference of property assessed value at $200,000 now as compared to a property of $200,000 assessed value with this projected increase.
Which projection?
The 10%.
78 cents, I think.
15%? You're talking about 15%, 78 cents?
Say what?
I can't understand you.
Which rate are we talking about?
78 cents and 10%. Cents? Yeah, 78 cents per hundred.
$200.
So you want to see a comparison with the other one?
I think it's a $200 increase, Dean.
$200 increase.
I think, because we're at 68 cents now.
Yeah. No need to guess.
It's $200 additional per year.
Very good, Zach.
Per assessment of $200,000.
It's a 2,000 multiple.
$200.
$200 additional for Town of Berlin real estate tax bill portion.
A year
for a property at $200,000. Okay.
With option four, would we still be returning the $350,000 in slot revenue back to reserves?
Those monies are committed, yes.
So they would be going back to reserves, and if we could find $140,000 somewhere.
Option four.
Yep.
We found $140,000 somewhere.
So we would still be returning $350,000 to the reserves as debt payment, repayment for the police station.
Correct.
So what that would mean is just cutting the budget an additional $140,000.
Correct.
Expenses.
Or increasing that number.
And that would be, again, in the general fund.
So it's general fund
on the same
correct.
Page. Yeah.
The only place left to cut is staff.
The only place left is services.
So if we are looking at $140,000, we are at the point where we would be looking at services. We've pretty much taken about everything we can out of the budget when it comes to capital and even some other items, so we would be looking at some kind of recurring cost adjustment, and really what is left is the services that we provide, and that's largely a function of the staff that you have working for.
I mean, the short answer is staff would need to be cut in some manner that it comes up to an equivalent of at least $140,000. I think that's the bottom line, and we might as well just talk about it because so everybody knows.
I think we can get there without cutting staff, and I think we can get there without cutting services. And I think that what we need to do is look at some of the fringe benefits that aren't totally necessary. I think that necessities for our employees are health care, their retirement. I like the gift card that we give around Thanksgiving that helps families with around that time of year. But there are some fringe benefits that I think we can get rid of, some of those being the BJ's and Sam's memberships, the cell phones, and I think that if we make some other small cuts, I think we can get there. I really do.
Snitches, please keep in mind, you projected just for 1 year.
Not right now. I mean, I think if we're looking at a point of trying to balance this fund without cutting jobs and without cutting services, that there are some things that we have to give up.
But let me ask Jeff, because I think he has the answer to this. Do you know what the cost of the BJ's and the Sam's benefit is? Do you have that number off the cost?
Just roughly take 45 times 70.
Right.
Okay. I think we did this before in a previous meeting. Maybe that's what I'm remembering.
I mean, I've done some rough math.
$3,500.
I've done some rough math, and I mean, we're not cutting a lot of things here, and I've gotten to $90,000 in cuts.
You better keep talking then, because I haven't heard $3,500.
Okay. So here, I'll run right down the list.
Yeah,
so if we're starting with elected officials, if we cut BJ's and Sam's memberships, that's $180. If we cut travel, $1,500. If we cut cell phones, $3,600. If we cut special appropriations, $600. That gets us to $5,880. If we cut administration, BJ's and Sam's, $225. I realize that Berlin Falls Park's probably out of a different file, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, so let's scratch the 11 and 17 that I have here, because I think we should reduce the Berlin Falls Park budget to by $11,000 and drop the coordinator position to $12,000 for the year.
I'm sorry, Council.
Yes.
He just said drop the Berlin Falls Park out of the equation.
Yes, but I have it here, so let's note it, and then we'll make sure that that's taken out of my $90,000. The cell phone for administration's $3,000. I think we should continue our obligation with AGH, but extend the duration and cut that in half to $10,000. I think that we should hold off on the multi-purpose building grant until we complete the transfer of the property, which is $5,000. I think that in the finance department, we should hold off on the BJ's and Sam's membership and the cell phones, which totals $735. Customer service, BJ's and Sam's, and I think we added $2,770 in office supplies from the first proposal of the budget to the second budget that we have in hand. So I don't know where that additional office supplies came in, but if we could figure out if that's
in the computer that we required. Some computer upgrade that we required was a new Windows 365.
Okay, so maybe we have to cut $2,000 from my 90. Let's see here. I think, Jeff, did you renegotiate the cleaning contract? Good job. Police department, BJ's and Sam's, $810. Cell phones, $8,400. I think we should suspend college tuition for FY20, which is $12,000 expense, just in the police department alone. Cut BJ's and Sam's memberships in public works and cell phones, which came to $214.85. Sanitation came to $1,935. Streets, $3,225. Economic development, BJ's and Sam's was $90. Cell phone was $1,200. I don't know what the local nonprofit was for $600, but if we could gain some clarity on that, because I know we're not funding other.
The guy, he has the answer for you.
Thank you.
Those numbers in the economic development description, when Natalie and I were going over the budget numbers, she was asking me some of the things that the town sponsors. And I gave her the list of things like the Brown Box Theater, Shakespeare, Concert in the Lawn, the museum asked us for money for that. Memorial Day Parade, they asked us for money for that. The museum asked us for Peach Festival money. We offer sponsorship for that. And then she asked me what others, and I said there's a variety of other nonprofits locally that ask us to sponsor their events, local nonprofits. And I just couldn't.
Right.
Read all of them off. There's a plethora of local nonprofits that ask the town to sponsor events. So what I did when I cut my sponsorship budget, I cut it by, I can't even remember how much. I cut it by 60%. So I only have 40% of sponsorship money now. But, I mean, whatever you want to, I'd much rather see people keep their jobs.
That's where I'm at. I mean, I really want us to not cut anybody's true healthcare benefits or anything like that. But
people ask me for money on a daily basis.
Right.
So
I think times are tight. So
it's
easy
for me to say it's cut out of my budget now.
Right. And I think that we should allocate $5,000 for the fireworks and see if we can maybe look to the chamber to help try and find some sponsorships to make up.
I think we put that back.
Well,
it's
in there.
A lot of things.
For 10 grand.
What I also, under revenues, which isn't noted, which I haven't heard anyone talk about, I get a lot of donations for the events, and it's just in a revenue line item. It's almost $28,000 that my department brings in for the events, from business sponsorships, the hospital sponsorships. There's a lot of different, there's vendor fees, there's farmers market fees, and that, I'm not sure where that money goes, but let's
that
say
goes
someone,
for the same expenses, so it becomes a revenue neutral. So if we reduce them something from economic development, ultimately the revenue portion will go away because it's a program. If Ivy runs an event and there is a donation given, she contributes back to community pretty much the same amount. We don't keep economic development revenue, so it's a expense and revenue neutral. It's money in, money out.
How could we find a way to maybe offset that so that the money that's coming in, maybe the service that's going out is Ivy and her team rather than
it is
actual,
right now. We have revenue items created on revenue side for that portion, for Christmas parade donations, for marketing, for events on the lawn, the music. So if we cut in the expense, we'll have to reduce the revenue as well. That's where I'm going to.
Mm-hmm. All of these expenses, if we
economic
cut
development specific.
Okay, economic development.
All right. And then I had the planning department at $1,290. So give or take, maybe $60,000. I have 90 here, but I think some of the things probably wouldn't fall into that category based off of what we're talking about. But I mean, I think it can be done, and that's not even looking at like some of the supplies and operations and whether those things are truly essential or whether they can be held off until another fiscal year. So
I think suggested cell phones, and I think that was.
Can you speak in the mic?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? I think the cell phone thing would seriously impact on service delivery, and I would hate to see that cut because when stuff break, it's the staff that we have to contact and get up with, and we pretty much require that they have a cell phone to in those cases. So if we're going to require, we're going to have to support it. So I would hate to see that.
And the thing is, each employee buys their cell phone, sets up the network that they and that works for them and their family, and then the maximum reimbursement is $50 a month.
$50.
It's $50 a month for people who are actually travel off the site and respond to the emergencies and not physically at the desk. So the ladies in the finance or customer service who are in the office, they don't get that reimbursement.
Yeah.
So it's public service and
it's basically
public service and electric are they really the main ones that need the phones,
and
right?
And all your department directors.
Department
directors as well. But if we're reducing the cell phone, just to concur, we will be cutting for everybody.
And again, I'm wholeheartedly for anything that keeps the tax rate as low as possible.
Right.
But I'm saying, again, essential, we have to understand what essential is versus what is, you know, can be discretionary. And if anybody thinks that cell phones are discretionary in this day and time, spend a day with us. You can't get.
But
you can't
spend
get
a day with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, really. I think again, all ideas should be discussed.
Absolutely, and I do appreciate all this list. We can certainly look into it and reduce as much as possible. But I do have questions to Councilman. This is 1 year projection. What's going to happen in 2021?
My honest opinion is I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm focusing on FY20. If we can balance that out. But, I mean, I would hope that we could continue looking at it with the same diligence that we are with this budget in FY21.
So where I'm trying to bring everybody's attention, setting the rates at the minimum and trying to close the gap with cutting a little bit off is going to put us basically behind in projections. as you're all aware, the minimum wage is going up, and I'm not talking about it's going to affect us salary-wise. It's going to affect outsiders, meaning the vendors is going to increase the prices of, I don't know, sand on the street, stones, and contracted services will go up to reflect that change. So basically, our expenses will go up. I don't know how much, maybe 3%, maybe 2%, but I can see and I can visualize that 2021 budget is not going to be at the same $5.7 million as projected right now. So going to the minimum rate of 7%, it's certainly something that would be better than going higher, but in the situation we have right now, we have to think about a little bit ahead of us. We can scrub and clean to the bones and cut another 200, easy, yes, but then when we're going to sit down and 2021 budget and try to cut again, then we will be talking about salaries.
I understand where you're coming from.
And again, there's no easy decisions. There are none. But I think we have to make some, because obviously we can't wait until the last minute to finish the budget. This is the time when we have to decide, okay, we made a decision about the fees. Now we have to make a decision that based on the information we have, the input we've gotten from the public, what should be the property tax rate for FY20. We have to come to an agreement.
Can I ask, you asked about the,
the water and wastewater. Mm-hmm. If we were good with that recommendation, could I ask if anyone is good with the 30%?
I'm not.
Roy.
I'm not.
So let it be known. So let it be known, the town of Berlin is not considering a 30% property tax increase for the upcoming fiscal year. And I think we could have as many suggestions up here as there are people. So we have to agree on something.
Yeah, and we do, because I'm just being very frank here. I think we started the process almost 2 months early in order to make sure that nobody's blindsided, that everybody knows the issues. I don't think anybody, the public, anybody has found this a rewarding experience.
No.
But there's eventually a point where we have to decide how much revenue, how much expenses, and what is the property tax rate.
But it's not going to be 30%.
Of course not. I mean, if everybody agrees, but here's the thing I think everybody needs to understand. You have to propose something. You can't say, what if.
Yep, yep.
So we now know what that would require, what that would need to be done. And we have, again, I think step by step, found ways to reduce that. But now we have to get to the bottom line. What will it be? And, I mean, here's the thing. whatever, you know, I think we all know where we want to be. It's, you know, but we have to. I think it's boiled down to, if we're talking either, and correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like we're talking about choosing between a 7% increase to 73 cents per 100, which was where it was a decade ago.
Back in the day,
and we haven't had an increase in 12 years. And or do we go to a 10% increase at 78 cents? I personally, from everything I've heard, see, it's got to be, you know, based on everything we've discussed so far, it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. So I think I would like to hear what your feelings are on it. I mean, here's the thing. I'll take all the heat I need to take to get this process accomplished. But I can't be myself, the mayor, and you. You guys have got to decide what it is you want to pass, because you're the ones that have to vote on it. I will do whatever I need to do and ruffle whatever feathers I got to do to get a decision made. But there's no, tonight is tonight, and it's time to make a decision. And then all the department heads, our financial people, our financial advisors, everybody can go back and check and double check what we've been told tonight, what we've been discussed, and make sure we're at the right bottom line.
Right now, the BJ's and Sam's Cuts, I'm fine with that. That sounds great. That would help. Berlin Ballpark Coordinator.
Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, as far as what Zach suggested so far, Sam's Club, BJ's, I have no problem cutting that out. Berlin Falls Park Coordinator, reduce that, fine, too. They're the two bigger things. I wouldn't be in favor of the cell phone because we got to talk to them. Mm-hmm. The essential personnel we got to talk to. Right now, option two seems like the one that will put some money back into the general fund. And then these are all still estimates. I mean, we're hoping we're going to hit these numbers. And this is with nothing going wrong all year long.
Yes.
So I think we've got to have a little bit of a cushion there in case we don't hit it.
Option two would be the most applicable in our situation.
And that's from what we've been discussing so far. But, I mean, John, you got any recommendations for us? I mean, I'd love to hear from him.
I mean, first of all, it's great to communicate together. You're right that the sewer fund is our fund, our albatross. I guess everybody can hear me. We really do need a study done for the future. Number two, one thing that concerns me is don't confuse reserves with cash.
Okay, yeah.
There is a term called expendable reserves. It's what you should be looking at. Because that says if you have a crisis, do you have the cash to take care of it? As you're well aware, many towns have had tremendous storms and floods and different things. If you don't have reserves to help take care of some of that, it's going to be a tough time.
John,
yes, sir.
Not meaning to interrupt you, but I would suggest that we have a line as suggested, expendable reserves add it to our budget.
Because right now, I think the only thing it says restricted reserves.
But expendable reserves.
And when you're moving forward with this, could you please put on there expendable reserves so that we're able to see that in that audited report?
Yes.
In your audit report, I definitely think that Lizzie and I discussed it today.
Okay.
All right, so that being said, I think there is always some cutting you can do in budgets, but you have no expendable, I think, money in case of a right.
So we don't have that $1 million?
What?
There was $1 million that was cited that if we had an event that we could reach in to wherever this sits.
There is $1 million.
And you don't have any operating reserve.
That's all we have. Meaning if you have a crisis and you have to operate and still day-to-day operation, you don't have spendable crisis money.
You might have to show that to me on paper.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is you haven't had an increase in 12 years, and it's kind of unforgivable in a way, I can tell you that. And I've seen towns that have that kind of issue. A little increase, but you're going to have inflation. You're going to have increase in costs. You mentioned one being the minimum wage, sick time out there, different things that you're getting mandates to businesses from the state that you can't control. So if not number two, it should be somewhere between number one and number two, at least at a minimum.
Is there a way to calculate, like, I know there is a way, what that tax rate should be at with those 12 years, if we had done those incremental increases, where we should be, whether that is at the 78 or whether that should be at the 73
cents. If it was a percent and a half over 12 years,
that's 18% increase. Right.
And if it was 2%,
that's very low, you look at inflation.
Right. Right. And if you look at 2%, which is what inflation has been at least in recent years, Time out.
Coffee break.
Thank you. And if inflation plus just other increases in operations that has averaged 2% over the last 12 years, that's 24%. So it's kind of
it's
like
not
put it
compounding.
Right. Not, yeah, without compounding, just straight.
That's
straight. So I, you know, again, yes. And I apologize for not raising taxes more often. That I take the responsibility there. I never thought I'd be apologizing for not raising taxes, but that's how I damn well feel. You know, but now we're where we are. How do we make the best of this? And how do we do it as responsibly as possible? How do we do it with minimizing the burn for anybody, regardless if they're a resident, regardless of age, regardless of commercial enterprise? But we have to do something, because to go back to the level of spending we had 12 years ago can't be done. It just can't be done. So if it comes back to the we have options here.
I think
five options that have been brought up.
With a rough estimate with compounding, it should be somewhere around 87.6 cents.
I'm coming to 92 cents.
You're coming to 92 compounding over 10 years?
If you go into to the steps you go into, right now we should be at 92 cents.
Is that over 10 or 12 years?
12 years.
Oh, I only did 10. My apologies.
That's the equivalent of what it would have been if we had done what we should have done.
If we do incremental each year with the compounding of the inflation.
Yeah. So
92%.
And why don't we put some figures to each one?
And I'll go realistically, John, you're saying somewhere between option one and option two is what you feel will be a prudent course of action.
Minimum to get you moving, but then you're going to deal with it next year.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then, of course, once you get the study done on sewer rates, that's going to help indicate what you need in the other taxes and how you're going to raise that.
Well, there's no doubt about that. The wastewater plant has got to break even, and it's by the only one revenue source we got, and that's the tax, the ratepayers. So.
And that's again,
I think we did a great job building the plan. It's not easy being green. It's not cheap either. And that's what happened, the way I see this thing. And it got away from us pretty quick.
State made changes in what required for developments, and that impacted development.
Oh, no doubt.
Internally, you probably had some reluctance to do too much development.
Now, John, for years when the taxable base increases, like this year, it's increasing by 1.8%. So if we set a tax rate and we say that's sufficient and then we want to cover costs and we want to be prudent by increasing year over year about 1.5%, years that we notice the taxable base is increased, there shouldn't be a need for that, correct?
That's correct. You're at the whim of the state doing assessments. If assessments go up, they plug that into how much do we really need to raise rates. The issue is you get another 2008,
right,
and it drops.
We just, so everybody remember, I've said this before, we're finally back to the accessible base for this community that we were 10 years ago. We've finally gotten back to that. So,
that,
you know, it's just, I know it's hard to be relative, but, you know, we made a mistake by not raising taxes, but at the same time, we knew the accessible base going down, which because of the economy. So there's a point where we have to balance the two things out. And this is my personal, as a elected public official, we're one of the few states in the country that they will only give us the legal right to do one thing, raise property taxes in terms of taxation. Other states, if your economy is booming, if you're adding new businesses, you're adding jobs, if people are coming into this town, which we depend on very much, you're able to get revenue off that. Not in Maryland, no chance. I could live 50 more years and it still won't happen. It's just one of the hang-ups the state has. So I'm just saying, we need, it'll be generational, but eventually, why are we the exception? And small towns in this state take a lot of gas because we're economic engines, but we have no ways of getting that back. And yet, what are we supposed to do? Say, let all the businesses close, let everybody be out of work, No, because it does do good. It's just that the way in which we have to fund all this, which I do not think is right, is the only option we have is property taxes. Obviously, they let us charge fees for the utilities because there's no other way to do it. But I just want to get that off my chest because that's been something I've been, you know, have a grudge about for many years. And so we go back to what can we, where do you wish to go? I mean, you're the folks that are going to be voting on this. I rarely have to ever try to put you on the spot, but this has to be a collective decision.
You're going to do it tonight, aren't you?
Well, you're damn right we are. I mean, you know, I am doing my job. I will take all the stuff I need to take, must take, but eventually everybody's got to throw in their where you think. And I know it's not easy. It's not a bit of this that anybody would relish doing. But that's why we're here. We volunteer for these jobs. Nobody forced us to. I think we pretty much know the situation. There will be some fine-tuning, but we have to make the key decision that impacts every citizen, every property owner. Most are residents and some that are not residents.
We have four options.
Well, right now, option two is my favorite. None are my favorite, but I think it's the most prudent one, especially based on what our third-party accountant is telling us, what our staff's telling us.
You can create one your own between one and two.
I'm sorry?
You can create your own option between one and two. You don't have to go with my projection.
And an 80 and an 83.
88.
And then 88 the next year after that. So, yes, Mr. Governor, my concern is I know we've got some stuff to fix. It's not in this budget. And it's for 2 years we're kind of stemming. It's not realistic to think we're not going to fix stuff that breaks. And I think we need to have some cash on hand to do that and to start to try to put the money back in the general fund. Not to the rate we had it before. That is the taxpayers' money, and we use it for good purposes. Police station. Everything else we did as far as capital improvements went, was all things that were necessary.
I also like option two. I think we would, I just like option two.
I like option one, but I'm hearing no way, no how.
I think we can do it. I think we can do it with option one. It's going to be hard, no doubt about it.
Option one?
I'm sorry. Four. The new option one. The new option one. The new one. I want to understand these slot revenues a little bit more. I know I keep going back to beat a dead horse, but the money comes in. Where does it go? Like, if we don't touch it, will that mean that we have $1,350,000 in this expendable reserves?
So think of it as saving account that you had before.
Right.
And then you borrow from your saving account, and you have built a building with it.
Okay.
And so right now we have a separate checking account set up in the bank, and the money come in. And as they accumulated pretty much like 3 to 4 months, we transfer them back to the saving account, which is basically your pooled cash that I'm talking about, to replenish that you have taken in prior. So they're earmarked. They're not for actual day-to-day operations.
So to make sure I understand this correctly, the money that was spent out of my savings account, right?
Correct.
I bought the building, and now it went negative because that's all the money I had, right?
Yes.
So now I'm paying it back, and that money's already allocated for something else, it's just going back into the fund to get me back to zero.
To close that negative balance, correct.
Okay. So it's not really there to use.
It's not there to use, and you cannot use it even per state regulations, even if you wanted it.
But
you can take it and go ahead and repair this, equipment with it.
But if we wanted to use it to, say, fund the fire department, we couldn't do it because it's already gone.
But if you think about it, it's pretty much the same, yes. We take in for the fire company out of reserves to fund them, and then we put in it back for earmarked for the police department. It's all safety.
All
I'm for going from 68 to 78, whatever that percentage is.
That's 10%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me keep a track here. I really would like to only go 5%, but cutting that $140,000, I think would be a chore. So 10% is my recommendation.
All right, let me just keep a little record here so I can make sure you see where we are, see if we're reaching a consensus or not. Okay. So Troy?
Yeah.
So, Troy, you recommended to go with option two, which is 82 cents, and then 88 cents. And then Dean, you chose the option of 10%, 68 cents to 78 cents. So we'll just keep going right down.
Here. Mayor, for the minutes, can we clarify, is it 10% or 10 cents?
10, I'm recommending.
15%.
No, actually, 78 cents is 10%. I'm sorry, yeah. There's a typo in there because I was carrying projection to projection. I didn't update that. So 78 cents. It's 10 cents, 10%.
10 cents and 10% both, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's it. And Troy's option of first choice was 20 the percent first year, 7% the second year. Mm-hmm. Elroy, it's your turn at bat.
Option two.
Okay. That's the 20%. Mm-hmm. 7%, which again is 82 cents.
82. 88.
And then second year, 88 cents. Okay. Now, Zach, it's your opportunity.
I'm up. I'm for zero, but I don't think we're going to get there. But then we'll go for my new option one, which is the 7% increase or restoring it back to the 73% rate.
That's option four.
And yes, that's option four. And
I told you,
and hitting it with a pencil and really cutting those $140,000 in expenses if we can. If not, then we'll make up the difference. But I think there's some room to budge.
Okay. So we have, at this juncture of the discussion, we have two council members recommending that we go from increase from 68 cents first year to 82 cents, second year to 88 cents. Then we have two council members, the best I understand it, they're recommending that we go from 68 cents to 78 cents. Is that correct?
Yes.
No, I'm at 73 cents.
Exactly.
73.
I'm at option four.
Okay. Option 7%. Four. So we have one and one. Okay. So now we haven't got a majority yet.
No. Yeah, we're still missing.
Yeah, we're still.
I know.
Missing.
And what are we supposed to do? I mean, the good Lord affected that family deeply today, and I know he would love to be here. I know he has, and I know he wants basically. I can say this very, to have the minimum property tax increase that will that we can all live with.
Can I put him in my category, option four?
No.
we can't live with yours. Put him in my category. put him with me.
I'll call him and put him in mine.
but honestly, I mean, it's just, this
I'm going to take your cell phone away.
We're the only ones leading, Joy.
Yeah, that's it.
So, look, you know, discuss it.
I don't want to do any of it. I just think it's prudent that we got to do. Look, somebody cast us said we have to make the hard decisions, and this is the hardest one I ever made. And all this is based on balancing the wastewater budget,
right.
And that's year one. Hopefully, is what's going to happen here, because that is where our problem is.
I just think option two is a better way to go.
Is there another combination that gets us to the same place? I don't think that there really is. Oh, geez, I think my mom has some questions.
I know.
So how we have
it?
I mean, if it's constructive and it can add value, I mean, I'm for it.
It's already with the council, it's fine with me.
If we're going to talk about the same stuff, then I mean, let's.
Yeah, as long as we stick to.
I don't want to hear from the public.
Yes, go ahead. And that's a good question.
That's Mr. Stearns, would you right there.
Try to answer that, would you, and stand so that everybody can hear.
You know,
the answer of doing that, one, is you're literally have a bonding based on your bonding capability. But number two, how do you pay it back? What's the revenue source to pay it back?
Well, you can with interest. Use the casino money, but break it up more. Like if you need to use some of it for police department, if you need to use some of it for economic development or whatever.
And the principal.
And the principal.
2%?
What's the I don't know what it's going to be. Depends on what you want to do. Interest rates have gone up. The private market versus the public market. Again, your bonding capability is based on your assessed values. Am I right on that? What's your bonding capability based on?
I have no idea.
I
don't have it right now, but when we went for the Berlin Falls Park, we were not applicable to the bonds, we were going to the private market back then.
Yeah, go to the open market, which can be a different interest rate. Put it in the reserves. You might as well borrow from yourself and not pay interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just saying that the big thing is to have cash, then we do have something where we could get cash from. And that is to do a bond or get a loan on the police station.
Again, what's it to pay it back?
Right.
Because things are going to change. You might solve this year. Next year is going to be another discussion.
Well, the casino money has been going up quite a bit, too. I mean, I think it was like $350 last year. It's probably going to be about $385 this year. So, I mean, that's the other thing. Is everybody go out and gamble. So money.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Jotting some things down here while we're going. I have some suggestions for the future, but that's not relevant now. We're talking about what's happening now. You're talking about raising the sewer or the water rates 5%, and you're also talking about raising the sewer rates 20%.
That's correct.
I don't think a lot of people in town are going to have a problem with that. I really don't. I think we're all smart enough to know that we are in trouble trying to not milk the reserve funds, as Troy pointed out. We don't want to be taking $800,000 out of there a year. I think if you would raise the water rates 10% and maybe 25% on the sewer rates, okay, it's going to be such negligible amount for everybody, but also to increase that volume of the revenue for you to take care of our major problem. I think you're going to get a lot less backlash if you significantly raise the sewer and the water. People are going to not be happy. But we're all right now scared to death of a 30% raise in property taxes on top of the sewer and the water.
And may I at least point out that we've just eliminated that as an option. That's where I had to start somewhere, and
we haven't had one.
Well, you know, if you're making a point about something that's already been decided, And we had to start somewhere, and not one council person says they're for that. I mean, not one person has said that we should raise the rate to 88 cents and 30% increase. Not one.
You asked for input. I'm giving input.
Okay.
Sir.
That's
all I'm doing.
Well, okay, because I'm, I tell you.
I think your value's made up.
No, I'm telling you. I am damn tired of people telling me what I think. I am. I have to put out the word there of what our situation is financially. I think we have trying to come up with the best possible solution we can, and we're not considering that proposed rate. We heard the folks. We said it's got to come down. Now we're trying to figure out what is the lowest rate, tax rate we can have and still meet all the obligations.
I didn't listen to the tax rate, though. I'm talking about the sewer and the water.
You just said we are increasing our taxes.
No, sir, I didn't. You need to listen, and there needs to be one adult in this conversation.
Well, you're it.
Thank you. I suggest it again so you understand what I'm saying. Instead of raising the water rate 5%, maybe you need to go to 10%. Maybe instead of raising the sewer rate 20%, you need to raise it 25%. It would be much more negligible than a huge tax rate increase on everything else in the budget. It will be accepted a lot better by the people of the town. If you do that, it's going to help with your what you need to catch up so you're not taking out a reserve fund. And then, in order to possibly lower the tax rate to maybe 10 or 15%, but if you, I'm just saying, okay, this is a suggestion, sir, okay? If you raise the tax rate 21% this year and 7% next year, you have basically just slapped us in the face again. And I understand what Mr. Burrell and Mr. Purnell and all of you have said. You want our input. But if you slap us with a 28% increase on top of the assessment, on top of the water and sewer rates in the next 2 years, you didn't listen to us. And I'm sorry.
Well, I look, we're here, you're loud and clear. We got to do something about it that makes prudent sense. And I'm taking the advice from our accountants.
Minimize the tax rate and make it up a little bit more in the water and sewer rate. I don't think people are going to gripe about that. When you look at the rates of what they would increase.
Understood.
I think it's going to be negligible. Nobody's going to argue about that. But if you raise 21% this year and then tack another 7% next year.
Look, don't think we haven't heard you, though.
Okay.
We're making the best decisions we can based on the information we got.
And that is what each of us are doing. We have different opinions because we all don't think the same, and we have made those recommendations on the best information we have available. And that's what we have always done.
And I'll echo the same thing. We are listening. We hear you loud and clear.
Right.
All right, so basically we have a recommendation to consider raising the sewer and water rates more than what we were discussing so that we'd be going instead of...
Mayor.
Yeah.
Mayor, interrupt. Yeah. With all due respect, the funds operate separately. The water fund is not in any need or trouble per se right now. Sewer fund is the one we mostly focus on. So if we're raising, per your advice, water higher and sewer higher and do an interfund transfer again, is the general fund where we need help. That's why we go into the real estate tax, because it's the major revenue that helps the general fund to go through year to year. If we go in with the water sewer and borrowing from those funds to operate the general fund, sooner or later we have to repay back, and we will be back again at the round table discussing how much tax or other services have to be cut to support the general fund operations.
Yeah, the sewer fund could go to 25%, and that would probably get us another $40,000, $50,000.
We can talk about sewer. We don't feel the need. The water rates have to go up.
Exactly. I agree. I've seen that. They look like it's working out fine. But the 25%, what would that raise additionally? Could it be just that much more that would go back into the general fund?
That would speed up the process of repaying the obligation, correct?
Right.
Wasn't there some discussion about capital expenditures in the future for water?
Yes, it was very aggressive, and we didn't feel that it would suit any way to even put it on the table as an option.
And again, what we're proposing is 5% in water and 20% in sewer, with the additional step of hiring a water and sewer rate setting expert. And that can actually, the question you're asking about the water fund can be addressed as part of that study as well.
If you went to 25%, if you're going to go $277,000 by doing it 20%, if you go 25%, you get $347,000. That's what it looks like.
That's a net increase of how much per year?
$347,000.
Versus
$277,000.
Thank you.
So maybe an option.
I have a request. Can you make the budget reflect no cell phone for me? No Sam's Club for me?
You don't get any. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding.
And all out-of-town travel for myself will be covered by me.
It's actually,
with the exception
elected
of...
Elected official budget have no travel.
Travel.
We already cut it, so you know.
Okay.
Just so you know.
That sounds good. Yep. And the only MML conference, I don't know if that's
it's
still in there.
It's not included in fiscal 2020 as
then
well.
I'll cover the summer on my own.
It's
fine.
It's already been done.
No, I'm saying well, I will pay it out of my pocket.
It's not just one council people. We're going to treat everybody the same,
Mr. Mayor,
and it's already been done.
I'm not talking about the budget. I'm
yes,
saying
you are.
I will cover it myself
No, you are trying to be some sort of, going to sacrifice yourself when we've already made that cut in the proposed budget that's being considered.
For what? For MML, right?
Sorry, Mayor, Council. We're talking about one-time expense for 1 year.
Right.
Please consider going forward at least 2 years ahead of you. Are we planning to be in the same number? You have to think of increases in services and expenses outside. We can cut MML and we can cut BJs, but it's so minimum that it's not the number we're looking for to be okay going forward. We're thinking about ahead. The state revenue right now has given us $213,000 for next year to repair the streets. Whether they're going to give us to us in 2021, we're up in the air.
And they have said outright, just so everybody knows, that funding that has been set for the last few years is going down.
Decrease.
They didn't say
it's going
push
down.
Any punches. We're going to get less money in the future for repairs to our streets and sidewalks than we have had in years, and it's going to go down, and we're being told over and over, get more done and get more streets fixed and get it done faster. So I just want to be somewhere. There has to be some sort of balance between what everybody not only expects but needs and our ability to do it. And unfortunately, it's the more self-sufficient we can become, the more we can satisfy all these demands. And to think that we can just live in the past somehow, or budget based on what we used to do in the past, when expenses are much greater, and quite frankly, we could go back to not fixing streets for a decade or two, like it used to be, if that's what everybody wants this town to become. Because I can tell you, the quality of life here, and that had in this century has been the best that we've ever experienced. But now we have to determine how much will the public support that quality of life, or we can start reducing services, programs, and projects. That is the crux of the situation. And no disrespect, but we cut all those things. It's just so you know, I don't discuss personnel things here, but in the recommendation, as I've been talking, because it's a personal issue with Laura and Natalie, yes, eliminating the Berlin Falls Park coordinator was part of this. But it's kind of like, okay, but
I'm not sure I understand.
With the kind of increase,
Siri needs clarification.
With the kind of increase we're talking about, you know, sure. I think getting $140,000 or so.
And I don't know if it's.
But we still got to take care of the big problem.
And I don't know if it's the best move to cut it completely. Maybe capping it at $12,000, $1,000 a month, if that's something that we need, that we tap that resource for the Berlin Falls Park coordinator. Put it as an earmark only for $12,000. If we don't use it all, then that's great. But if we need his help, we've gone through the hiring process. We found somebody that works well. I'm not saying throw him out right away.
This is revenue neutral. I'm sorry.
I know, but
absolutely revenue neutral.
I know, but we were just talking about
we're expensing this under the bond originally. We have a leftover, and the discussion before when the coordinator came in place, when those funds will be down to what minimum the coordinator position is going. You can take it away right now, as of right now. It will be no impact on the budget.
I understand. I'm just saying that I don't think it's best to eliminate it completely, whether it's neutral or whether it has no impact. I'm just saying that maybe it's something that we keep them on the book.
If we keep the tax rate to the absolute minimum, which would be all of our preference, we're going to have to cut a lot more than that. I'm just being frank about it. Nobody wants to face the fact that if we, because the capital projects will come back, we can postpone them a year or two max, but you eventually have to fix what you have to fix. We have, unfortunately, we have a very old infrastructure in this town. Very old. I mean, you know, makes somebody like me look like a kid compared to our infrastructure. And when we replace it, that's why the streets are so expensive. Because the street part, yes, that's at least manageable. But we can't tear open and put a new street in place without replacing everything underneath. Mm-hmm. The sewer and water. Again, sewer and water. You want your water to be clean, and should do. It should be wonderful, and you should make sure the sewer never comes close, and that it's all then processed in an environmentally responsible way. And these costs are much greater because you don't see them. I understand that. Nobody sees this stuff, and I do understand why it's hard to get the notion around, and it's disconcerting to realize to do basic things. It's cost so much more than it did at the turn of the century.
I have a question about the streets. So we're looking under the streets budget at a $213,000 expense for the streets. Does that include sidewalks in that area? Because I know we have a policy that we put sidewalks in. Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure. I don't think that we really need the sidewalks there if we can fix the street.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that I've talked to the residents on those streets, as many as I can get to, and they're okay with getting their street fixed and no sidewalks.
So everyone knows,
I just wanted to make sure we were there.
Just curbing.
Yeah, please curbing.
Can I also essential. Just receive, I just discussed with Jane, we haven't actually thought about, but the tipping fee for residential trash pickup is going up. It's part of a general fund as well. It's public works.
And again, for decades, the town's policy was a sidewalk in front of your business, regardless of what it was, or your home, regardless of what it was. It was your responsibility 100% to repair it or replace it. So guess what? The sidewalks literally fell apart.
Before the following year,
Mr. Joe Moore's mother was one of the victims walking right uptown, fell flat on her face because it was ridiculous. So, again, the town and the citizens made a decision. That's something we're responsible for. And I think that's one of the things we have to face tonight. What are we responsible for? What level of services do we want to have? And is any of this frivolous? You know, if there's something frivolous, we'll cut it out. The way we've certainly been trying. But these are all essential services. So that's what I'm saying. Tell me what level you're willing to support.
Okay. I have a suggestion.
Microphone.
I have a suggestion. I would be willing to move from the 10-cent or 15% to 18% with the second year to be determined this time next year and not set at a 7% increase now, but that increase to be determined during the budget process next year after we hear from the public again.
I'm fine with that. You know I don't want to do it, but I put in order to move this thing along a little bit. I'll do it.
What are we looking at?
Option two, unclear. Change it from 8 from 20 to 18 and from 7 to 2 be determined.
2 to be determined.
After we see where this works out. We know we got to do something. We just don't know exactly where
so,
it is.
So basically, it goes to 80 cents.
And there you go.
It works out to 80 cents, right?
No, there you go.
So if I understand you correctly, what you're recommending is an increase to 80 cents. Literally, it's 80. Let's see, 0.8024 is what I calculate.
So what?
Yeah, 80 cents.
So you're talking
and no proposed increase in year
changing
two.
Changing 20% to 18%?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
And in year two is to be determined because, you know, if we can get away with nothing, wonderful, but I don't think that's realistic.
Right, okay.
Just so you know.
No, it's not.
Well, it's to be determined.
Okay, so
Elroy,
you're up.
Oh, the reason because you kept option two, so I'm along with it.
Zach,
well, I mean, I'm stuck because I don't think we've really changed anything on the expense side. And I think we need to change some things on the expense side. We're at 140. We've not even budged from that to say, hey, we're trying to make some headway.
I don't agree with you on that.
Okay.
I think everybody
maybe I'm missing
everything
something.
Everything you were suggested, we said we would. We thought that was fine. I don't know where the resistance is coming from.
Cell phones are not.
Coordinator, I'm definitely up for reducing, although it's revenue neutral, but I don't think I'm spend as much money as we are right now than you put out.
So, I mean,
let's figure out if we're going to do that.
So, G, you got a number.
Okay, and that basically what I'm hearing is at least, it sounds to me that at least a majority of the five-member council is saying that we should consider establishing a real estate property tax rate for fiscal 2020 of 80 cents per $100 valuation, what represents an 18% increase, and that the property tax is for FY21, a year from now, is to be determined. Is that a fair and accurate summary of what I'm hearing?
Nally, are you able to say what the budgetary shortfall would be or what that would look like?
I wouldn't go shortfall.
It should be about even, I think.
We should be breaking even. Yeah. We should have the shortfall in that. I don't have exact 80 cents, but looking at 82 cents, the option right there.
Okay, so I guess.
And am I understanding then that we all agree that whatever that, if there is whatever the shortfall is between that, that that's what we have to reduce in expenses over and above what we projected so far?
That's my question.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Yes. Yes. I think we all agree on that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and obviously at the next meeting, you know, on the 13th, that gives everybody time to get the information in the packet, and then be able to announce to folks what has these decisions, what impacts they have made on the general fund, particularly, and then what the new totals are for each of the utilities.
I mean, correct.
The general fund would be the most impacted, of course.
Right.
As well as project, could you give us a projection on the 25% increase versus the 20 in the wastewater?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. That's another thing. Does anybody disagree with that?
No. Does anybody disagree with it?
That's fine.
With wastewater?
No. Wastewater 25%.
Okay. We look at 25.
I mean, to make it so that it's balanced and not pulling out of the general fund.
That'll help.
Right. That's what it has.
Some room for capital.
So 20% will do that. If you want to put it at 25, that gives you a little more cushion, a little more flexibility. That's fine.
But I think that a portion of that needs to be based off of those EDUs because we said 55 covers debt service. 52 covers debt service. But if we're hitting 52 EDUs, then I don't think that we need the full 25.
But that would be adjusted the following year.
Not going to happen.
okay. But I mean, that should be.
So if there's a year where we blow it away, wonderful. The next year, we don't have to have.
So we won't realize that savings until the next year. Fiscal year.
And that's pretty standard everywhere.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand it before we move
on. And let me just insert myself. Your rate structure as it's set right now does not accommodate what you're describing. So it's one of the reasons why we need to have somebody come in and and rebalance
it. But that would be one of the premises that we want to say.
Right.
This is something we want you to figure out how to make it happen.
Exactly.
In the interim, at least we're stemming the tide, and we're not bleeding any more out of that fund.
So, Natalie.
Yes.
A $200,000 assessment at 80 cents?
Right. Yep.
At 80 cent would be how much?
$1,640.
How much would you say?
$1,640.
No.
The difference. I thought she said how much total.
No.
Yeah, he's asking for the difference between the current tax rate and the 80 cent tax rate.
240.
Okay.
As compared to what current?
200. Well, the proposal we were discussing before was 200.
But it's 240
versus
compared
300.
To 268.
What would the assessment be at 68 cents?
Yes.
Sorry, I was having trouble understanding.
240.
At 68 cents, it's 1,360. At 82 cents?
80 cents.
1,640.
So the difference is 240.
Yeah,
$240.
Yeah. And we can... For the adoption.